Hello, everyone, and welcome to For the Girls. We are heading into our last doubleheader of the season before summer break. We have Hungary and then Belgium, and then a break for silly season. I'm also heading to London this weekend for the Formula E finale and have some exciting interviews and visits planned to a couple of F1 factories as well. So lots to come, but we'll dive right in. I'm Tiggy.
I'm Sarah.
And I'm Chessa. Okay, so let's talk about the Hungarian Grand Prix. The track is called the Hungaroring. It's one of the toughest tracks to say, also one of the toughest tracks to drive, and one of the most technical races of the season. The Hungaroring is about 20 kilometers away from Budapest, and it's the longest running circuit on the F1 calendar besides Monza. Great track to be a spectator because there's always elevation. And then with the track being in a bit of a valley, you can see a lot of the track no matter where you're sitting. And actually, a lot of people from Finland go to this race because they don't have a home Grand Prix, so they go there. So extra shout out to Botas too.
And the track has some similar characteristics to Monaco. It's basically all quite technical corners, only one straight. So the focus is on a high downforce setup as opposed to straight line speed. It's got 70 laps, 14 turns, and is almost 4.4 kilometers. A couple places to look out for are turn two is a good overtaking zone if drivers can get a good exit out of turn one. And then turn four is also interesting since it's nearly a blind corner.
There's also only one DRS zone, basically only one straight that leads into turn one. So in a sense, it's similar to a karting circuit with the lack of straights. But one thing to look out for here, which we saw at Silverstone, is weather. It's usually super hot at this race and is on track to be in the 90s. And there are excessive heat warnings in Hungary currently. So it's definitely feeling like New York in the summer at the moment.
In addition to the heat and other factors, so far this weekend at the Hungaroring has been rain and extreme storming. There was a really bad storm right as everyone in the paddock was trying to get set up. It looked like the McLaren motorhome might have been damage, which is so unfortunate after the damage they sustained at the Spanish Grand Prix. There was some flash flooding. The paddock really looked quite flooded, so hopefully that all drains out okay today and tomorrow, hopefully aided by this heat, and then we can be ready for FP1 tomorrow.
Okay, let's talk about last year's race. So really fun race weekend. There was a lot going on. We had a shock Lewis pole, one of the tightest quality spreads in history. Then we had Danny Ricciardo's first race back after replacing Nyck de Vries mid-season. So all eyes were on him. We also had a Lando podium and now the infamous breaking of the ceremonial trophy from Lando. Remember, those are like the beautiful handmade ones. And then he did the champagne and it fell and shattered. And then, of course, we had an amazing race from Max and Red Bull overall.
So first, quali was thrilling. It was Lewis's first pole since Saudi in 2021, which now thankfully we also have a win. But at the time, that was super, super exciting. Max was P2 in quali, and then both McLarens were in P3 and P4. And then Joe was in a surprise P5.
Max, of course, though, won the race by almost 34 seconds, was 37 seconds ahead of Checo in P3, and then Lando slotted in for P2. But the main drama of the race was Joe had a car failure that prevented him from getting off the line properly. So at turn one, he rear-ended Daniel Ricciardo, who then got pushed into the Alpines, who then crashed into each other. Both Alpines had to retire. I remember this chaos. It was just insane. But then it was also, so there was some disappointment for Mercedes not being able to convert a surprise Lewis pole, but really good race for McLaren, Lando P2, Oscar P5, and then, of course, the infamous trophy moment, which took, I think, over 200 hours to make, handmade, when Lando accidentally broke it on the podium from doing the champagne hit. So let's hope for no repeats there.
That was like the biggest meme coming out of that weekend, and I feel like Lando's had to live up to that sort of not hype because obviously he doesn't want to be breaking trophies, but his champagne knock or whatever you want to call it is pretty famous now. Let's talk about some of the teams. Okay, Red Bull. The main story here is Checo. Like all eyes will be on him to see if he can turn around what's really just been a tough run of form. At this point, Checo just needs to be getting into Q3, getting into the points, showing why he needs to be a number two at Red Bull and kind of showing why he even renewed his contract in the first place. So as we saw from the recap of last year's race, he did get P3 after a bit of a slump last year. So if history is going to repeat itself, he might be able to turn it around this year. But he's been well outperformed, like we were saying, by other drivers. He got beat by Hulk in the Haas in the last two races. I think Logan has outqualified him. So what do you guys think? Is this his make or break race?
This race in particular? I don't know if it's this. I would put this race as like the make or break, but I do think that
maybe Hungary and Belgium together, like before the break.
Yeah, I think if he is not performing, if he's not in the points either of these two races, that to me feels like a nail in the coffin heading into silly season. I know Christian Horner made some comments this week about not being in a rush to fill seats both at Red Bull and at VCarb, but I still think you're going to lose options if you wait and wait and wait for Checo to kind of come back and he doesn't. So I think if Checo can regain some of his form and be in the points and not be super, super far off Max, then maybe he'll have a renaissance here and save himself. But I do think if he doesn't perform, silly season is probably the time where his contract will be cut.
I agree. I think the way you put it, the importance of the doubleheader here heading into silly season, because silly season, not only is it a pivotal time because it's silly season, it's also a big kind of break that would give some time to take a step back and reevaluate, talk to new potential drivers. And I think that would be a really big turning point if he's not performing in these next two races. And I think it will be a conversation regardless, because even if he's coming in P5, P6, if he's not on podium and kind of back to true Red Bull form of where he should be, I still think it'll be a bit of a conversation. Yeah. And I think they need to move, even though Christian, if he's saying he's not in that big of a rush, I do think they still have a bit of a time issue in the sense of they're going to lose other candidates who they could have potentially snapped up, like Carlos, like maybe some of these rookies, whoever they might be thinking seriously about over silly season will end up getting signed by other people.
And we just saw that chart yesterday that we posted on our Instagram, but it's the amount of points scored by each team, I think, over the last six races. And Red Bull's like third in terms of how many points they're scoring. And so if Max isn't going to be pulling the bulk of the points these days for the team, then Checo needs to not be in P9, P10, P11 and out of the points range. So good point on that.
For Ferrari, Ferrari's trying to turn it around after a really rough run of form ever since Charles won at Monaco, which feels like ages ago. And they have not been in the conversation as much. Charles didn't even get points in Silverstone, so it's been a tough run. And after Silverstone, they're only 7 points ahead of McLaren in constructors for P2. So they really cannot afford to have no points finishes. And speaking of that chart, McLaren, unsurprisingly, is the team who has scored the most points in the recent races. So it's going to be interesting and a very tough battle in constructors. We still don't know where Carlos is going, so he will be the main highlight of silly season for sure. Alpine has sort of re-entered the chat as a potential option for Carlos, especially I think maybe if they become a customer team, if he's really looking for that longer term project. But also if you listen to our episode with Bernie Collins, I think we all kind of feel on the same page of like it's really risky for Carlos to bet on a long-term project at a team that's not going to give him a car probably anytime soon to score points. And maybe he would just be better off going for a one-year deal somewhere like Mercedes and then see what happens at Red Bull or wherever else in 2026. But what do you guys think?
One of you guys just said it when we were talking about Red Bull, but now I'm holding out hope that they're just going to sack Checo in the silly season and just we're gonna have Carlos and Max next year in the Red Bull.
Aren't you a Checo fan? I'm so confused. No, sometimes
I'm a Checo.
I hope they sack Checo.
I'm a Checo fan, but I am a drama fan above all else.
Well, Bernie did make a good point as well that she was saying this about Max, but if Max is the one who leaves Red Bull in 2026, it means the car is not good enough, which maybe that wouldn't be the best move for Carlos in that case.
Yeah, right. But
I do think, though, it would still be more compelling than kind of a midfield or back of pack team. I do really hope that – I know he does want that longer-term project. He said as much, but I really hope he would think about taking a one-year deal at – Mercedes, Red Bull, wherever he could get it. I think that would just set him up in the best position going forward, since he really is kind of approaching his peak and prime years here. And it would be hard to kind of wait it out till 2027 to be in a competitive car. I feel like something big has to be in store. The season started with Lewis going to Ferrari. So I feel like there has to be
Carlos to Andretti or something.
There has to be something big in the cards here.
Who knows? We'll see. I can't wait. Okay, for Mercedes, we are the team and Lewis are coming off of an incredible high after the win at Silverstone, their home Grand Prix. Unfortunately, George had to retire with mechanical problems, though. So hopefully reliability issues for him and for the whole team won't get in the way here, and we'll just continue to see them on the up and up. And then kind of fun off-track news, Lewis has a fresh new Dior deal. So I think we'll see him coming in some really incredible outfits. Not that he hasn't already, but fun little side note there as well.
Yeah, I loved that announcement. And also just about Mercedes, it almost feels like there was one key that they found with the car, and now they're totally in a different league than where they were. And so I hope that continues, but it almost feels like they figured out what went wrong with the car for the past 2 years and have come back swinging. So hopefully it continues.
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see this track. It's almost the polar opposite of Silverstone, going from high speed, flowy corners, flat out, to these super technical short corners, just no emphasis on straight line speed. But like we're saying, Lewis has a lap record here. He's been amazing at this track. So maybe even if the car can't handle that transition, Lewis will be able to. But I
also don't think that Mercedes has excelled on the straight line speed in general. I think they've more excelled on corners. So we'll see. But I do agree that it's a totally different track.
For McLaren, they did finish P3 and P4 in Silverstone, but like we talked about a lot, it was a bit disappointing after not being able to convert, having a 1-2 in the race and looking just so strong. So we are hoping for and excited for when they can pull off a really clean race day and kind of full weekend that maximizes their quality performance, takes advantage of whatever race position they can get, including being clean on tire strategy, because that was a big struggle at Silverstone. So we would love to see a full race day come together for them on Sunday. And obviously they did super well here last year.
For Aston Martin in Silverstone, it was a rare occasion where Stroll both outqualified Alonso and finished ahead of him in the race. So it's interesting. Stroll's performance lately hasn't been too bad. I think Aston Martin is going through a little bit of a roller coaster right now with their performance, but we'll see if they can hopefully improve. But another big name will be moving to Aston Martin. After 2 decades with Ferrari, technical director Enrico Cardile will be leaving to join Aston Martin under their technical director, Dan Fallows. So Aston Martin continues the personnel vacuum to their new.
I like how you said vacuum. I was like, I'm envisioning just like Lawrence Stroll with outstretched arms, like raking people in.
Literally, sucking them all into their new facility.
I think Aston Martin in 2026 is going to be so interesting and beyond. I really can't wait to see what happens. They're definitely gunning for it.
Yeah, it takes a long time for a team to, I think, rebuild. And when you get these people in the door, Alex Albon said as much when we interviewed him, it takes a long time, like years, but it's happening.
Yeah, Bernie said that too when we were speculating about Adrian Newey, because she's like, even if he decides to go somewhere, like as soon as his gardening leave is up, it's not like he can really have that much of an impact on 2026, because surely most teams are well underway already. So interesting anyways. Okay, for VCARB, we are really keeping an eye on Danny Ricciardo this weekend. No announcement on his seat yet. We don't know who Yuki's teammate's going to be. And things definitely aren't looking amazing for him, mostly because we have these incredible rookies who have been putting in some work on the tests. So Isaac Hajar, he's in the Red Bull development program. He joined like 2.5 years ago. He's in the lead right now, midway through the F2 season. He did a test this week, and Christian Horner said, quote, "He's making a strong case for himself next year, which is why we're not in any rush to finalize seats in the sister team, aka VCARB." So That's a big one. And then, of course, Liam Lawson had a test last week too. Did a filming day at Silverstone. He had to use demo tires, so wasn't able to drive for like 33 laps of Silverstone. But again, really good for him. And Red Bull does put a lot of importance on testing, as we saw with Danny replacing Nick last year. So a lot for Danny to keep an eye on, it seems.
Though the rumors coming out of that test were that Red Bull wasn't super impressed. He was 0.2, I think, off of Max's lap time. So it's going to be interesting. I don't know how much of that is just posturing in the public, but it didn't seem like the same level of hype that came out of Danny's test last year. But I certainly hope that Liam's still in contention.
It's also interesting that it only ends up being kind of rumors coming from these tests, and we never get concrete confirmation of times. I think the first time it was totally a rumor last year that Danny had almost matched Max, and then it kind of wasn't totally confirmed until Drive to Survive, and later on when Christian was looking at the monitors in Drive to Survive, said, "Oh, we would have matched Max's lap time," being in a super dramatic Drive to Survive moment. But there just seem to be kind of a lot of behind the scenes posturing with these tests.
That's such a good point.
Imagine the pressure for Liam. Imagine showing up to that and it being your shot. So he is apparently testing again in Imola with the old, I think, 2022 AlphaTauri car, but we'll see.
And reminder that we interviewed him in Miami. It was a super fun interview. So definitely check that out if you're interested in learning more about him.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning F1 championships is sometimes also what you need to keep your car running day in and day out. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has got you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Okay, friends, today we're talking about sleep and specifically getting better sleep. If you can relate to having trouble falling asleep and staying asleep and getting good quality sleep, then listen up. We are so excited to share a new product we've been using from Beam, their Dream Powder. Our listeners will get a special discount on this Dream Powder. It's a science-backed, healthy hot cocoa for sleep with no added sugar. It tastes insane. I did it last night and I woke up this Monday morning feeling incredibly refreshed. I gave it to my little sister and she loved it too. They also have amazing flavors: sea salt caramel, brownie batter, vanilla chai, and then of course the original flavor, cinnamon cocoa. It's been tested for high quality efficacy and formulated to ease your body into rest, supporting all four stages of the sleep cycle to help you stay asleep longer and fall asleep faster. Other sleep aids can cause next day grogginess, but Dream contains a powerful all natural blend of reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, apigenin, and melatonin to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. If you want to try the best-selling Dream Powder, get up to 40% off for a limited time when you go to shopbeam.com/paddockproject and use code paddockproject at checkout. That's shopbeam.com/paddockproject and use code paddockproject for up to 40% off. We have been very busy lately and have been really trying to do everything we can to feel our best as we wind up the summer and head into a very busy fall. And one thing we've been doing to help us and support us is using our Happy Mammoth products, especially Estrogen Control. It helps to support our hormones and alleviate any of those pesky PMS symptoms, including bloating. And it also assists in maintaining cognitive health and promoting liver function and digestive health. Happy Mammoth also has the amazing Hormone Harmony supplement dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women, and they make no compromise when it comes to quality. For a limited time, get 15% off your order at happymammoth.com with code F1RTheGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code F1RTheGirls for 15% off today.
Like most people, we love a great deal, but what we don't love is jumping through a million hoops just to end up saving a few dollars, especially when it comes to wireless plans. There's so many promos and offers out there, but they do really make it hard to get good quality savings. With Mint Mobile, it really is so easy though. For just $15 a month, you can get a wireless plan when you get a 3-month plan. And the website and activation process are so seamless. Honestly, the longest part of this process is going to be the time that you spend on hold trying to break up with your old provider. To get started, go to mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. There you can see that right now all 3-month plans are only $15 a month, including the unlimited plan. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan, and you can bring your old phone number along with all of your existing contacts. So to get this new customer offer and your new 3-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. That's mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions may apply. Okay, for Williams, Logan is another person here in a mega danger zone. We would not be surprised if he got replaced over summer break, or at least, you know, his replacement for next year being announced. So I think we had this conversation last night off the record, the three of us, but Logan is amazing. I just don't think that, you know, he's not maximizing the car. I think Albon has consistently outperformed him, and we're just not seeing as much as we would like from Logan. And there's plenty of other series where I think he could do really well, and potentially like IndyCar would be amazing. So we'll see.
I would love to see him in IndyCar. And I think, I don't know if this is just true for Americans, but it does feel nice that he has that, hopefully, as an option as an American. Like, it just seems like such a natural and easy step for him to,
yeah, agreed,
to go back to that. And I don't know if that's fully true for people from other countries. I mean, maybe it is, but it's just nice. There's another IndyCar rumor that we'll get to as well.
For Haas, they are fresh off of 2 P6 finishes in a row for Hülkenberg, truly the unsung hero and MVP of the midfield. Very excited to see if he can keep that up. We have been absolutely loving watching that. And then the new Ferrari engine contract renewal for Haas was announced through 2028. So they are locked in 3 years into the new regulation. So they have a while to go as a customer team. It's clearly been working out well for them recently, yeah, given how much Hulk has been able to convert that car into performances after Haas traditionally has struggled more with converting sometimes really strong Saturdays into race pace. So it feels like things are definitely moving in the right direction.
Yeah, and I think one of the reasons that Ayo Komatsu, the team principal, gave for that decision was just wanting to keep some level of consistency into the new regulations, and as they have driver changes, and they're going to have a rookie next year with Ollie Berman. So it's just nice to kind of keep something the same as a lot of other things are changing. But we'll see. I think that came off the back of a rumor that Haas was going to be a customer team for some with someone else, like literally last week, which is
Toyota.
Crazy. Yeah, Toyota, which, yeah, is wild.
They were trying to stir the pot before they made the official announcement.
Exactly. For Alpine, a very tough no points weekend last weekend, including a Gasly retirement after replacing what felt like every engine component with his 50 place grid penalty or whatever it was. But it would be nice to see a clean weekend from them and hopefully no teammate drama. And then lastly, for Stake, still the only team with no points, hopefully Bottas can make some magic happen in front of the many Finns at Hungary. He did have a really strong quali performance here last year, so you never know. But this is also the other Indy rumor that Bottas may be going to Indy. I don't know if I fully buy that, but I guess if he doesn't have a seat, that could be a really interesting move for him. But this one feels a little more far-fetched to me.
Like, on principle, it feels very far-fetched. Like, I can't imagine Bottas driving out of Europe and not being sort of like in that whole sphere. But on personality and on hair and on mullets, etc., he would be an amazing IndyCar driver.
Also, on breaks, he does those gravel bike races in Kansas, those endurance biking races, and yeah. he loves Colorado. So he does spend a good vibe. A lot of time in the US, but I really agree. Maybe this is just wishful thinking. I really hope his F1 time is not over anytime soon. I would love to see him at Haas or really just anywhere where he can score some points and remind everyone that he was such an incredible number two to Lewis for so many years.
100%. Maybe Bottas to replace Checo. Heard it here first.
Bottas at Red Bull does not – that puzzle piece does not fit in my mind.
At all. But just talking about like number two drivers, I don't know.
He knows that meme with the lady and all of the math triangles and equations yeah. trying to think of Bottas at Red Bull.
Math is not mathing on that one.
Well, Bottas, in terms of being a successful number two, he was a better number two to Lewis in the sense of – Checo's a great number two in terms of overall teammate dynamics and working together. But in terms of just raw performance and yes. speed, Bottas outperformed Lewis more. He got a haul of poles, wins, everything during those years. So he's super fast, and I'm a really big fan. I hope so much that he is somewhere next year where he can show off his talent a bit.
Sarah, the real question is, if Bottas and Max were teammates, would you still be a Max fan, or would you have to be a Bottas fan?
I would definitely still be a Max fan, but I would always be hoping that there wasn't teammate drama. I would hope that they yeah. could pull off 1-2s, kind of those types of finishes that we haven't been seeing recently. There I think go. Bottas still has it in him.
Spicy. Oof. I love it. Okay. Speaking of which, let's transition into our hot takes. Tiggy, kick us off.
This is going to be very hot, but I'm going to go with a only Mercedes and McLaren podium.
Only Mercedes. Ooh.
For me, that's a good one, Tiggy. Darn, I was going to say both McLarens on podium and then a wild card for the third person on podium.
I continuing with the McLaren theme, I was going to say Piastri podium. I think instead I will say a Ferrari podium. Hopefully a bit of a return to form here. That does feel a little hot with how things have been going recently, but I think possible.
Chessa, what's a wild card in your mind? Like anyone not in Red Bull, Mercedes, McLaren, Ferrari?
No, I meant wild card as in no one besides not a McLaren driver, because there's only two. But I knew you were going to ask me that. Okay, I'll say I won't tell you the order, but I think it'll be Oscar and Lando on podium, and then we'll also give it to George.
Okay, so very Mercedes specific. McLaren podium.
Oh shoot. No one wants Red Bull on podium this weekend, it seems.
It's just fun to keep the constructors battle going and having sure. having more of an excitement. When we interviewed someone very special this week, and we were talking about a different series and the excitement happening in Formula yeah. E with 7 drivers in contention for the championship this weekend, which That's is the finale.
Dream. So insane.
It doesn't happen in Formula One these days. So
I would love that. To transition into some little bit of news before we wrap up. So the Goodwood Festival of Speed was last weekend in England. It had some very fun moments, like Red Bull celebrating its 20th anniversary as a team. All the big names like Max, Checo, Danny, Yuki, Mark Webber, and more were there to celebrate. They also debuted their new RB17 hypercar. I always read it as hype car. I'm going to say it's hype car, even though it's hypercar. It's Adrian Newey's invention. It looks like a spaceship. And
$6 million.
How much?
$6 million.
Oh, casual. Let's each get one for sure. and there's also a rumor that Newey is looking for houses in Oxfordshire, and so not Maranello. So
Oxfordshire would mean maybe McLaren, which could be very, very interesting. The pot continues to get stirred. But have to also shout out Hamda Al-Kubaisi, who was at Goodwood. And that picture of her with all of the Red Bull drivers was just amazing.
She's iconic. She's amazing.
And Yuki did a run in a more recent Red Bull car. It had a halo, but he was wearing one of the really old style kind of open face helmets. So Goodwood just looks like it always has so much fun.
And last piece of news, the 2025 sprint schedule has been released. 2 sprint races again in the U.S., Belgium taking the sprint weekend from Austria for the upcoming season, and a few more. But we're super excited for this doubleheader. I will be heading again to the Formula E finale in London this weekend. So much content to come and a couple of F1 visits as well. But stay tuned for lots of content and some exciting visits. Chat soon.